You're listening to His Time. It is Tuesday, June 23rd, 7:30 Central Time. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Kevin Robson, Chief Mission Officer of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Robson, good morning.
Good morning, Andy. It's a delight to be here with you and your listeners at KFUO.
It's great to have you in studio and to be our guest here. As we're thinking about the structure of Synod and who everyone is, who is the Chief Mission Officer? What is this work that you have before you?
Well, I'm still trying to learn that myself, Andy, at this point, but I would say that we're looking at a position that was just relatively recently created in the history of our Synod with the restructuring that was put into place by our 2010 convention. By bylaw now, our Chief Mission Officer is charged with the supervision and oversight of a number of different program and ministry areas of our Synod, really carrying out the mission priorities that are set on a triennial basis by our convention, and then put forth in policy by various boards and implemented by the staff here at the International Center and around the world.
That was very well thought out. What are those? And that's a noble task. That's a big job for someone. That's a lot of responsibility, I'm sure. Not overwhelmed at all, though, are you?
At this point, I've been telling everybody here at the International Center that I'm climbing a very steep learning curve, and there's any number of analogies that you could use with this. The one that comes up most often is trying to sip out of a fire hose, or perhaps multiple fire hoses at this point. But yes, you're right. There's a lot of moving parts to this particular vocation at this point, and I'm really in a very much a learning and listening mode at this point.
And just from the few opportunities I've had to visit with you outside of the studio here, you seem like a lifelong learner, someone who likes to learn everything that you can, always taking great notes and just learning about the people you serve with, the people you serve. And is that a fair assessment that you're a lifelong learner?
Yes, Andy, I think that's true. I mean, the Lord has blessed me with a wide variety of experiences over the course of my life, delightful experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the, absolute joys in ministry and pastoral ministry and now in a new vocation here in the International Center is to bring those past experiences to bear all under the grace and the Word of God to advance the gospel in whatever way we can. Together in our life together.
Well, share with us about some of those past experiences. Most recently, a parish pastor, but let's back up a little while before that. How did you get to this vocation of an ordained minister, a minister of the gospel?
Well, I'm a Detroit boy. Grew up on the east side of Detroit, and I did my undergraduate work at the University of Michigan. I'm a maize and blue bleeding Wolverine, and did my work in Ann Arbor in the areas of chemistry and chemical engineering. A delightful preparation for the pastoral ministry, don't you think?
Well, if you put some of the wrong things together, you could end up with a big
mess. You can
mess.
End up with all kinds of explosive situations. I enjoyed a 17-year business career with two very large multinational industrial gas specialty chemicals companies. Earned an MBA from the University of Chicago along the way, and really worked perhaps more in the commercial arena than I did in the technical arena for most of my pre-seminary career. During the course of that career, I moved a number of times, was very blessed with some very, very fine pastors who had a wonderful influence on my life, truly applied the gospel to me in times when I needed it the most, and encouraged me in thinking about a career change into the pastoral ministry, something that I hadn't really thought about as a young man, but eventually really truly listened to the call of God and entered seminary studies to become a pastor. This would have been back in the late 1990s.
What was seminary life like for you? After all the education that you had been through, so much education that I'm sure some of it was very technical, but all the experience and education you had up to this point, tell us about your seminary days.
Well, I always look back on those days at our Fort Wayne Seminary, and both of our seminaries I consider to be the crown jewels of our life together in the Synod. Wonderful at preparing our pastors. I wish all of the listeners out there and our lay people in particular would have the chance to visit our seminaries, because our church body truly does a terrific job in preparing men to carry the Word of God forth and apply it in the care of souls out there in our parishes and around the world in our mission activities. And to me, it was one of the true delights in my life to be able to study the Word of God on a daily basis, be there in chapel, hear the Word of God preach rightly divided law and gospel, and really, in many ways, opened up a whole new world to me that that I really hadn't been exposed to before, and it was just absolutely wonderful.
And from there, you were called to parish ministry, correct?
Yes, and I've served several parishes in my life as a pastor since seminary. Trinity Elgin, Minnesota, Minnesota South District, just outside of Rochester, Minnesota. But more recently, for the last 9 years before arriving here at the International Center, served a wonderful congregation in Baxter, Minnesota. Just next door to Brainerd, Minnesota. Many of your listeners might be familiar with Brainerd from the movie Fargo. And up there in the Minnesota North area, about 2 hours north of the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. And again, a wonderful flock that really loved me and my family during my time there the last 9 years.
How has your experience, both in the business world, in seminary, and parish life, prepared you for what lies before you now?
Well, I think that, you know, in this job as chief mission officer, there are a lot of things that were, a lot of resources that we're managing, most notably, and I think foremost, is the wonderfully skilled and gifted people that work in this building and around the world to carry the gospel forward. And I think in these past experiences that I've had, both in the business realm as well as in parish ministry, I'm really praying that those will be brought forward here to be employed in a way that will simply help the true workers, the people that are actually getting the job done on the ground out there in the Synod every day, to do their job even more effectively and to really advance the kingdom of God through the preaching and sharing of the gospel.
Earlier, you mentioned mission priorities as chief mission officer, your work really deals with those mission priorities that are set forth, I believe, in convention. What are some of those priorities?
One of the chief priorities that we're working with is the idea that Lutheran mission results in Lutheran congregations and has all the marks of Lutheran congregations. The central thing, of course, is the preaching of Christ crucified, mm-hmm. Law and gospel rightly divided. And applied in the care of our souls. Certainly, as we think about our future together, to really continue to place both the doctrine and the confessional stance of our church forward, as we also make it a priority to advance the mission of our congregations, that is, reaching people that do not yet confess their Savior, Jesus Christ as Lord, and have not yet heard that good news and received it.
What kind of team, how do you... So how does it go from your office to, you know, from the through that out to the people on the ground? What does that structure look like?
Yeah, we've got in the area that I'm now supervising, Andy, we have five chief functional areas. The Office of National Mission, which manages, coordinates all of our programs and activities that support our districts and congregations here in the United States. Number two, the Office of International Mission, which oversees the work of our career and short-term missionaries overseas. And we can talk about that a little bit if you'd like this morning. Also, the Office of Mission Advancement, which takes care of our donors who so graciously and overwhelmingly in a supportive manner take care of our and fund our mission activities. The Office of Communications, which is all of our public relations, our publications, our the outreach that we do through various channels to get the message out, and then also our Office of Pastoral Education, which provides leadership and coordination for our pastoral education efforts, both pre-seminary, seminary, and post-seminary as well.
So all of those areas, all of those units or offices work diligently to provide support for the rest of the folks out on the ground, as you mentioned earlier, as you were talking about, for example, the Office of National Mission and all the work that they do to support districts and congregations, for example, youth ministry. That's a part of the Office of National Mission, and they provide resources and support for congregations. LCMSU, our campus ministry, college ministry, is a part of that Office of National Mission.
Absolutely. Ethnic ministry would be another area that office manages. Rural small town ministry, urban ministry. Many of our mercy work activities fall in one of the or more of those areas as well. So we have a lot of different approaches there to support our districts and congregations as they do the work of really carrying the word out.
I want to talk about Office of International Mission as well here in just a moment. We need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Kevin Robson, Chief Mission Officer at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Eddie Bates. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
I'm Larry Troxell from Quincy, Illinois, also pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois. My wife Donna and I are day sponsors of KFUO because we are thrilled to have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus through this ministry around the world. The station is now celebrating its 90th year, and the Lord continues to open doors for the proclamation of His Word through this station. You may be a part of this marvelous ministry by becoming a day sponsor also. Our day sponsorship is for my wife's birthday. You can pick a date that's meaningful to you also. You will have an important part in the ongoing ministry of this station in carrying the good news about Jesus throughout the world.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Have you noticed that in the very midst of life, snares of death surround you? And in fact, the devil uses those snares to confound you. How do you deal with that? It's the topic of our next Law and Gospel with Reverend Mark Smith as we take another look at a hymn by Martin Luther.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, June 23rd. With me in studio today, Pastor Kevin Robson, Chief Mission Officer of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Before we went to break, we were talking about the various offices, the units that you oversee and serve here at the International Center. We talked a bit about the Office of National Mission. I'd like to talk about the Office of International Mission. What is their main work, and where are we today with the Office of International Mission?
Yes, Andy, you know, that this is an area where I've got a great deal of interest, and I'm really looking forward. We were talking about me learning on the job at this point. Certainly one area, and I'm going to make no pretenses here, I have absolutely no churchly experience overseas. I had quite a bit of experience in the secular business world prior to seminary, but at this point, I'm really listening and learning with our international folks as they're going about their business. And I'm keenly anticipating paying a lot of attention to this area. We've got a lot of exciting opportunities before us. In my short time here at the International Center, I'm already seeing the flurry of activity, and the dedication is just something to behold here as we prepare our missionaries. This week, we have over 20 missionaries and their families here in the International Center for orientation. They've been called to serve overseas. They're getting ready to build their support networks as they're getting prepared for their assignments overseas. And the energy in this building right now is something else. It's crackling, and you can just perceive it. But we've got right now, you know, we're well on our way to accomplishing the goal that had been set by a prior convention to double the number of career missionaries overseas to approximately 136. We're well over 100 at this point, and we're moving very rapidly towards achieving that goal prior to next summer's convention. Our recruiting efforts in the international mission area have gone spectacularly well. We've had an overwhelming number of individuals indicate an interest and are pursuing possibilities to serve the church overseas. It's wonderful to behold the level of commitment and dedication that's going into supporting our missionaries as they carry out their work in various places around the globe. Right now, we're working with over 100 countries overseas as well, and it's just it's wonderful. And again, I'm really learning every day more and more about those efforts.
And I think I saw you headed into the orientation for our new missionaries the other day. Did you have some time with them?
I sure did. And you know, one of the things that is part of my learning process right now is to sit in with our missionaries and experience just a fraction of the preparations that they're receiving as they get ready to relocate. I think the common bond that we have there is that I've just relocated to St. Louis.
Which is a whole nother culture.
A whole nother universe altogether. but they say that moving, relocating a family is one of the most stressful things that you can undergo. And so we're all experiencing that bit of anxiety and stress, and at the same time dealing with that and under the grace of God, moving forward to do the things that He would have us do in our vocations.
With your little bit of, as you mentioned, a fraction of that experience of missionary orientation, is there anything about it that, about the missionary experience that was surprising to you, or anything that, as they're preparing to go, first to gather support, but then to go, many of them overseas to serve?
Yeah.
Is there anything that just was surprising to you?
You know, the one striking thing I think is just the notion of learning an entirely new language and culture, and the sensitivity and the willingness to listen and absorb in a way that will ultimately build relationships in the areas where they're working. it's like any good pastor that mm-hmm. enters a service, receives a call, and enters a congregation. He has to ultimately know his people, mm-hmm. Know his sheep, every single hair on their head, and strive to know what's going on in their lives, and to really take care of them. Mm-hmm. And no different for our missionaries, but they've got the added challenge of translating all this and learning language, culture, mm-hmm. and taking care of their families, too, and being mm-hmm. supported by their families in areas that they're not at all yet familiar with. And I have the deepest admiration for their dedication to that task. It's an awesome hill for them to climb, all under the grace of God and with the support of the Holy Spirit. No doubt about that.
Indeed. And we have the opportunity here at the International Center from time to time to reconnect with some of our missionaries who have been serving out in the field. And that's what we call it, is a reconnect. Have a chance to meet with them and hear about life out in the field. I'm sure, I don't know if you've had a chance to attend one of those yet or not.
I've had a chance to sit in on several of those, mm-hmm. and I think that reconnect time is so important, especially for the workers in this building, mm-hmm. to have that connection and see firsthand the fruits of their labor. We're sitting in an office building, mm-hmm. Which is an altogether different experience too, but to actually experience and hear from our missionaries themselves, mm-hmm. The joys and some of the challenges that they face helps us to do our job mm-hmm. More effectively here to support them.
Another part of our Office of International Mission is our ministry to the armed forces. Mm-hmm. And very grateful for that team that's recently had, I think Eric just retired, didn't he?
So, yeah, we got Craig Mueller over there. Yeah, doing a great job. Mm-hmm. And again, another crucial part of our life and work together in the church is to support the folks working in our armed forces worldwide. Mm-hmm. They, in effect, in the way in which they receive care and then provide mutual consolation and comfort to their fellow service workers, is part of our life and mission together in the church in a very huge, important way. Yeah.
Indeed. What are some of the challenges that you think we face as a church body, especially in the coming decade or so?
You know, I think that with a church body the size of ours, I mean, rather substantial, I remember, I think this harkens back to seminary days now, but that 19th century Lutheran church father Wilhelm Leyes said that the mission of God is nothing other than the church in motion. And this church body has a lot of moving parts. And sometimes those moving parts are well synchronized and meshed mm-hmm. together and work very, very well. Other times they scrape and grind against one another, unintentionally so, but because of the complexities of our organization and the various contexts and changing contexts in which we work, it's a dynamic, very dynamic mm-hmm. and rapidly moving environment. And so the challenge is to try and coordinate and lead all of those various components in a way that still keeps Christ at the center of everything that we do, mm-hmm. and that we don't get caught up in this worldly attitude that because of our own strengths and efforts mm-hmm. and our charisma or our wisdom that somehow we're getting all of this work accomplished. It really comes about solely through the grace and under the power of the Word of God. And we really do have to keep Jesus and Him crucified right at the center of everything that we're doing. That's why I like our Reformation 2017 celebration theme. It's still all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the challenges that mm-hmm. we face, not to mention of which is the greatest challenge, of course, is our own sinful flesh. Mm-hmm. And we are constantly being assaulted with temptations, the devil, the world, our sinful nature. And the only way that I know of to handle that particular challenge is to confess our sins, receive absolution, the comfort of the gospel, mm-hmm. and move forward bearing one another's burdens. And to whatever extent I can help make that happen here at the International Center with all of the experts and the people that are working so diligently, that's what I'm prayerful mm-hmm. I'm going to be able to accomplish in my time here. Yeah.
How has God gifted us? What are the strengths of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod from your perspective?
You know, one of the things I've been asking a lot of people in the building is, you know, maybe another way of saying that, Andy, is what are things that we ought to preserve or maintain in our church body? What's important that we, just a must-have or must-haves that we have to keep? What are our treasures? Mm-hmm. And I've been consistently, and I happen to agree with this, I think that the two chief responses that I've been hearing in those kinds of conversations here is, number one, are certainly the word, the doctrine, the confession of our church, that it at all, by all means, has to be front and center. But just as importantly, our mission focus and the determination to get that word out. Mm-hmm. And certainly both of those would be what I would consider to be the strengths of our church body. Not to mention, as we had talked about a little bit earlier, I think our seminaries and our system of Lutheran school education too are these jewels that we can mm-hmm. truly employ. God has given us great gifts in those areas, very skilled people who are carrying forward the mission of the church in that area of Lutheran education, too, that we're going to be passing the faith on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we do that in a good, solid, Lutheran manner.
So a zeal for the gospel, proclaiming the good news, for teaching faithfully.
Yeah. Mm,
very good. Well, I know that you're still getting settled in your office and getting acclimated to the St. Louis culture, the culture of the International Center. What do, with just about a minute or so left, what are you looking forward to most in the next few weeks, in the next few months?
Well, I'm going to continue to make my trips around the building here and meet as many people as I can face to face. I'm also have the privilege of visiting a number of people around the Synod in various district convention activities. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be at the LWML convention here this coming week, and mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to that. I had previously served as an LWML zone counselor back in the day in the parish, mm-hmm. and I always enjoy those conventions. They're wonderfully inspiring, and really, again, just you walk away from those marveling at the gifts that God has given to His church through organizations mm-hmm. like the LWML.
Well, I really appreciate your perspective, your joyful delight in your work. It's refreshing and just a pleasure to have the chance to talk with you this morning. Pastor Kevin Robson, Chief Mission Officer of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, thanks so much for being my guest this morning here on His Time.
Thanks, Andy. It was a privilege.
Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we're going to study with Pastor Gregory Sawyer from Grace Lutheran Church in Mastic Beach, New York. We're going to get into John chapter 20 today, verses 1 through 18. Hope you can join us for that during the 8 o'clock hour. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.